Blog Talk Radio.
The day that he was born
was a very special day.
In a manger where he laid,
with a pillow made of hay.
Oh yeah. The day that he was born was a very special day. In a manger where he lay, with a pillow made of hay. Was a very special day. In a manger where he lay, with a pillow made of hay.
He was born.
Yes, he was.
He was born.
And on this special day, the day that he was born, wise men came from afar. They were guided by a star. And on this special day, the day that he was born, wise men came from afar. They were guided by a star.
Shining star.
A shining star.
Now the reason he was born was to save us from our sins, to give eternal life, so we can live with Christ.
Live with Christ.
Yes, we can.
Live with Christ.
Oh, so when we celebrate joy that it brings, so when we celebrate this very special day, we sing praises to his name, all the joy that it brings.
On Christmas Day,
joy at Christmas.
Oh,
yes, he was.
and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. That was Deacon Grady Walston and Blessed. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is December the 14th, 2021, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us. This is our last Bible study for 2021. We are glad that you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person service. You are invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. Our services begin each Sunday at 10 a.m. You can come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. There are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can go to the Facebook page and you can find the correct mailing address. You can also come by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of your financial needs. Or you can use our Cash App. It begins with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. They will be able to find more information concerning First Baptist. You'll also be able to see our Sunday morning services on the Facebook page. Go there. You'll also be able to find the link each week, well, for the Bible study. We post our Bible studies on the Facebook page as well. If you would like to call in tonight, the area code is 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. Of course, we are in prayer for our brothers and sisters who have gone through a tremendous loss in this tornado in about four or five states, tremendous loss of life and property. And so we are in prayer for them, for they are going through at this moment. A lot of people without homes, without electricity, without jobs, who have lost loved ones. And so we stay in prayer for them. I want to thank the missionary department for a successful winter coat drive. I want to thank all of you so very much. You did a wonderful job. The coat drive was a success. No one should go without a winter coat. I want to particularly thank Sister Tiffany Burt Belgamy. I think I pronounced that last name right. If not, I can straighten it out. Miss Mangum will straighten it out for me. She did a tremendous job and was help for the winter coat drive, and I want to thank her personally. She's also a regular listener of the Bible study. So I thank her for her participation. I thank all of you, all of First Baptist, all of you who have done such a tremendous job in this winter coat drive. There's no need for anyone, particularly any child, to go without a coat this winter. Coats, scarves, sweaters, mittens, all those things are very important. Hats, all of those things are very important for the winter weather. And so we thank God for all of you who saw fit to give of yourself and of your time to take care of that effort. We want to remind you that Watch Night service is New Year's Eve. We start at 10:30. You can come and be in person with us for Watch Night service, or you can watch it on the Facebook Live. We will begin our service at 10:30 with testimony service. Then we'll start about 11 with the main service. And at 12, we will be in prayer, and we will be on our way home after that. So you are invited to come to watch night with us as we go into the new year. And then don't forget New Year Revival. New Year Revival is coming up January the 6th and the 7th. I think that's correct. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. We want you to be there. New Year Revival on those two nights, January the 6th and January the 7th. We're going to be praising the Lord and thanking him for the new year, with all the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We're just looking forward to having a great time with the Lord, and we want you to be a part of that celebration as well. So there are a lot of things that are still going on in the house of God. We've got to be prayerful. We've got to stay attentive to what's going on around us, what's going on in the world, and what's going on in our communities. A lot of things are going on at this particular time of the year. On this Saturday at 10 a.m., all fathers who are able to be on a live call with me this Saturday at 10 a.m., Saturday the 18th at 10 a.m., I'm asking you to meet me here at this format, area code 845-241-9839, for a discussion on fatherhood, particularly around the Christmas time. There's a lot to be discussed among men, a lot to be discussed about fatherhood. And I would invite all of you, all men, all fathers, you don't have to be a father, but we are inviting all men to join me on a live call this Saturday, the 18th at 10 a.m. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, I thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the web, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, for your mercy and for your grace tonight. We thank you, God, for your ability to come before you. Come with the word that will clarify some things in our lives. As we celebrate this Christmas time, give us a mind of heart of a Christian that we may be able to celebrate it in the right way. We may be able to lift your name up and give you the glory as we celebrate this great time of the year. We thank you, God, for the church. We thank you for each and every member of First Baptist of Holly Spring. We pray now, God, for your blessings upon all of those, particularly those who are going through, our brothers and sisters who are suffering right now with no power, no electricity, those who have lost their loved ones, those who don't know where the next meal is going to come, those who are lost out in the cold. Father, protect them, guide them, give them a sense of heart to know that everything is going to be all right. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is basically a song that was written by Mary, the mother of Jesus. Call this lesson Mary's Song of Praise. Comes from the book of Luke, the first chapter of Luke, starting in verse 46. Now, some may have seen another verse up there earlier, but I took that down if you were looking at it on the line. But actually, the new verse that I have up now is Luke 1, 46 through 56. Luke 1, 46 through 56. We take up Mary's story with her immediate decision to visit her age-barren relative Elizabeth, who, as Gabriel has just revealed to Mary, is pregnant and 6 months along. Elizabeth's pregnancy was a miraculous pregnancy, but we must never confuse how vastly different it was from the miracle occurring within Mary. First of all, barren Elizabeth was not a virgin, and Zacharias, her husband, was the natural father of her child. Nevertheless, what a surge of joy swept through Mary as she heard of the shocking news about the miracle in Elizabeth's womb. For it bore parallel testimony to God's power. Luke matter-of-factly reports Mary's response. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town on the hill country of Judea. Mary made haste and preparation to rush that 80 to 100 miles south to the countryside of Judea, a 3 or 4 day journey. Her haste indicated earnestness. She could not wait to get there. There were no luxury for her to work with. She did this on her own power. As she hurried along, she thought long and deep of the cross destinies that she and Elizabeth were both in a miraculous pregnancy. And then she was there, unannounced, silhouetted in that old couple's doorway. There was a strong human emotion and a strong human joy in the meeting of these two expectant mothers. One in the flower of her youth, the other bloomed long gone. These two were to become innocent participators, soul sisters, in the divine plan to save the lost. They would share their hearts as few humans ever have, through their birthing pain, through their sweat, through their blood, through their mothering. The world would receive its greatest blessing. Mary had just experienced a wonderful visit with her cousin Elizabeth, so great, in fact, that upon Mary's arrival, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, talking about John the Baptist here. Elizabeth then praised God for what he had was doing and having Mary come and visit her at that time. In response to Elizabeth's words, Mary recites a song that praised God's favor on her and her people. God alone was the center of her praise. The song is actually called The Magnificent. The Magnificent, as the song is called, consists almost entirely of Old Testament quotations. In fact, The Magnificent closely resembles the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. Both open in similar exaltation of the Lord. Luke's gospel is full of lowly people, from the shepherds that find themselves stableside for the birth and inclusion of women and children. This account encourages us to know that God is concerned about the lowly. Mary says as much when she declares that God has regarded her low state. And she closes her song with the soon-to-be consummation and the reality of God exalting the lowly and bringing low the proud and the strong. This points to the redemptive work of Christ and accurately reflects the paradoxical nature of the kingdom of God. In order to lead, you must learn how to serve. In order to be elevated, you must first be brought low. The kingdom of God values humility over pride. It values the poor in spirit over those who are rich in their religious and their righteous practices. The last are first, and the least are the greatest. And Mary is a wonderful reflection of this truth. Mary saw herself as part of a godly remnant that had served Yahweh. She knew, she understood it, and she knew she had been chosen by God and was privileged with carrying the Savior of the world. She called God my Savior, showing an intimate acquaintance with him. She spoke of his faithfulness. She spoke of his power. She spoke of his holiness. And she also speaks of his mercy. The great works of God is that it is a universal blessing to all. Christ came so all people would be saved. God blesses us because he is almighty and he's holy. He did a mighty work in the life of Mary that affected all people everywhere for all time. The King has come and will bring salvation. And so we go to that 49th verse. I'm sorry, the 49th verse, yes. Go to verse 49. So it says here, for he that is mighty have done to me, I'm sorry, let's go back. I got my pages out of order. Let's go to 46, I'm sorry. Let's go to 46. Let's go to page 46. I got my pages out of order. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. 48. For he hath regarded the low state of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Mary responds to Elizabeth's spirit-filled utterances with this psalm. The word magnify, it describes the greatness of God. To magnify means to make something appear larger than it already is in order to have a better and proper understanding. When you magnify something, you can see it better. When you magnify something, you can have a clear picture of what it is. Many of us have to use a magnifying glass to read. It brings those letters right up. You don't have a problem when you use that magnifying glass. So magnifying is to enlarge. It literally means to enlarge. Think of a magnifying glass, like I said, and how you can look in that magnifying glass, something so small. But when you look through that magnifying glass, it brings that image right up. See, God is already bigger than he could ever imagine. But magnifying demands that we enlarge our picture of God. We oftentimes have a picture of God that is too small and too contrived. So we need to magnify him so we can have a clear, better, and bigger picture of God. The song is an expression of praise for what God has done for Mary. It opens with the declaration of her intention to magnify God in the song in verse 46, which parallels the affirmation that she had found great joy in God, and God found great joy in her, enabling her in a miraculous way to become pregnant with the child of messianic hope who had intervened and would become the savior of the world. This was a powerful thing for her. This happy state existed because God had regarded her worthy of this task. It was not that Mary had some personal individual affliction or she was anybody special, but God found favor in her. Mary had some personal and individual things she had to deal with herself. And she realized who she was among all people. Here she was, a woman, a virgin, who was accounted as no one in those days. But God saw her, and God found favor in her. Hannah speaks of the very same thing in 1 Samuel 1 and 11. For God's people may be spoken of as of our lack, but God will always give us what we need. The Messiah is a symbol of liberation. Let me say that again. The Messiah, Jesus, is a symbol of liberation. He's a symbol of freedom and salvation. They believe, the Jews, they believe that the coming of the Savior means God is saving them from oppression. This Savior bestowed grace on Mary, and she responded with humility. She resisted that she was only a servant of the Lord, and she reinstated that. Mary was one of the lowest and the most powerless people in the world, yet God used her to bring salvation to all. The grace of God had given her more than she deserved, and so Mary praised the Lord with a humble heart. And although it has been noted above that the song has some similarity to Hannah's song, it is especially noted that there are striking differences between these two songs. Whereas Hannah proclaimed triumph over her enemies, Mary proclaimed God and his glorious mercy to humanity. She proclaimed the salvation of God, a salvation brought through the promised Messiah. How different are modern-day songs today? Mary's song was not self-centered. Mary's song was not about her. Mary's song was not about something that was going on in her life. Her song was strictly to give God the praise. The Lord was the subject of her song, her praise, and her rejoicing. The greatness of his work. The greatness of God's work is that it is a universal blessing. And this universal blessing, as I said before, is to all. Let's go to verse 49. Let's go to verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary proclaimed God's power. She was in awe of the fact that his might, the one whose great power had touched her life. The word mighty recalls magnificent again that was used in verse 46. Mary proclaimed God's holiness. Holy is his name. That is God. God is to be set apart and different from all others. His very nature, his very being is different. God is both pure being and pure in being, perfect being and perfect in being, holy in name and holy being named. In this context, God's holiness has overtones of power and may be refined as his transient mightiness. In verse 50, it echoes Psalms 103:17, affirming that God has accomplished in Mary. This act of God's mercy is for generation upon generation of those who fear him. God's mercy, his active faithfulness to his covenant and to Israel. Mary proclaimed God's mercy. There were at least two thoughts in Mary's mind, what God had done in her life and what God had done in history. God had done mighty works through history. God continues to do mighty works even into our own time. He has shown his mighty power. God will take all of us by the hand and lead us to salvation, if you're willing. Many are lowly and humble in heart. Thus, she was able to hear the word of the Lord, obey his word, receive his grace. She is an example of those whom God wishes to use. God does not use the powerful all the time, does not use the rich all the time. He does not use those who are full, because often those people are arrogant. Those people are not trusting. Those people confide more in themselves. But those who are needy, those who are hungry, those who are weak, are open to hearing the word of the Lord. They will be humble and humble servants and follow God's word. In verse 51, he that showeth strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. Mary proceeds from adoration to celebration. She saw into the future and proclaimed that the Messiah's coming would be accomplished. She prophetically spoke on the thought of the future and what had become the past, as though the child yet unborn had already been born, lived, and had done his mighty work in the world. She recognized the strength of God's arm, which in old days had wrought many mighty things to the people of Israel. Mary showed that God will reverse the order of things on this earth. At the end of time, the Lord will scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts. This word, imagination, deals with those who are under an illusion, those who are not living a real life, those whose hearts are not right, those who live in arrogance and pride and no thought for humanity, no intent, or those who do not think of their fellow man. The Lord will dethrone the mighty and exalt the humble. The mighty are those who sit in the position of power, authority, and influence over others. Thirdly, those who are rich only things of this world will be stripped of all their earthly goods and sent away empty. And those who have nothing of this world will gain it all. If we trust in God, we will receive all the good things that God will provide. In verse 54, he hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Mary recognized that the salvation her son would bring is rooted in God's covenant with Abraham. Mary recalled that God had done both for the nation and for the patriarchs. She mentioned two specific helps. God provided for his people first. God remembered his mercy. Israel desperately needed God's mercy and God's deliverance. In Jesus' day, God's people were enslaved by the Romans. They were depressed, both in their need and in their living. They were desperate, for they had nothing. There was nothing for them to hold on to. They had nothing but their faith. Some were even finding their security in the Roman state and in humanistic answers instead of God. It was at such a time that Mary proclaimed the Lord had remembered his mercy. Secondly, and more importantly, God had remembered his promise of the Messiah made to Abraham. The promise had now been fulfilled. God had sent the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so it is, beloved, as we celebrate this time of the year, although we are celebrating this great momentous occasion of this Immaculate Conception, although we are celebrating this great occasion of family and friends and coming together, worshiping and giving God the glory, we must never forget the greatest gift that was ever given to all mankind. That gift was Jesus Christ. Mary was the first to realize that. You got to remember that at that time, Mary and Joseph were probably the only two who actually knew who Jesus would be. And she understood that. After the Annunciation, she placed that in her heart. And this song reflects the spirit pouring out of this woman. And it should reflect the spirit that pours out of us, that God chose us as his people to continue doing his work. Or it could have been the other way. But the Lord secured us. He looked down at the lowly state of us. He saw that man was in a desperate state. And if it had not been for Jesus, where would we be today? That's why the Bible said that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would have an everlasting life. That is one of the things that we should keep in mind during this Christmas season as we celebrate this time of the celebration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go to the lines. There may be some who want to add something to this. And we're going to be talking about some specific things. I'm going to ask you some questions about your feelings about the way people celebrate Christmas. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to speak. You don't have to say anything. You can just simply say, I'm listening, and I will move on. Let me go to Trustee Mangum. I want to make sure I got Tiffany's name right. Trustee Mangum, are you on the line?
Yes, you was correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got that name correct.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
All right. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great.
Good, good. What do you think about the lesson?
Oh, I think it's good. It was a good lesson. And one of the things I wanted to say on here that we see on here where Mary, you know, received her confirmation from Elizabeth about, you know, she was going to become the mother of the Messiah. And Elizabeth, mm-hmm. she was already with child. And as you said, it would be the future John the Baptist. And, you know, he leaped in her womb. And what I was reading, it was saying that I've heard this before, but I read it for myself, say he was already filled with the Spirit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When he leaped into her womb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she was, you know, Mary was magnifying the Lord for you know, magnified the Lord, her God, through song. She was just proclaiming all of his goodness. And Mary, she was thinking on the goodness of God, of what he had done for her cousin, Elizabeth, you know, who was barren. And one of the things that we can learn from Mary's humble worship is that Mary's humility demonstrates to us that we are to be humble in our worship. You know,
she was
humbled by God, you know, by his mercy, although she expressed that she was a servant, like a handmaiden or a female slave of God, but she was still humble by his mercy.
Thank you so much. Area code 919, last four digits, 2534. 2534, are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening, Deacon. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Once again, right here to the end of this year's Bible study, another wonderful lesson. So I'm thanking God for the lesson and the message, and I thank God for the teacher and the messenger. It is amazing how even in St. Luke is still talking about, it's connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament, still talking about the Messiah, still talking about, you know, how we all going to be humble, how the hungry shall be filled, how the ones who, you know, have a proud mind or proud statue, how they'll be lowered, and the humble shall be exalted. And you know, even in this great message, is still a lot of bases for Christians to read and understand. You know, Mary and Elizabeth, they had an understanding, and as a lot of people today should have an understanding to a certain degree of God's word, and it's amazing how they stayed humble with it, didn't get big-headed with it, or disassociated themselves from other people. You know, they could have said, "I got this," or "I'm the mother of the Savior of the world," or "I'm the mother of you know, the great John the Baptist." You know, they could have went all other different ways with it, but they rejoice amongst themselves, and they praise God, and they stay humble, and they would trust in God with a task that, you know, the angel was sent to give them that message. And if, you know, a lot of people stay the course and stay committed to things these days, how this world will be changed also. Thank you for letting me have a few moments there.
Oh, thank you. I'm gonna come back with a question for you in just a minute. Area code 757, last four digits 5803. Are you on the line?
I am. Good evening, everyone, and Pastor Rogers.
Good evening. How are you? Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. Yes, another great lesson. I truly have enjoyed learning so much under you each Tuesday night. And this one is so great because if we just stop and think about the greatness of God and how powerful he is to have done the things that he has. You were speaking of him, of the definition of magnify. You know, it just shows the greatness from him creating light to bringing us the Messiah, and bringing the Messiah into Mary's womb. It was just a great lesson all around tonight. I truly enjoyed it.
Thank you. Area code 910, last four digits 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Good evening, Deaconess.
Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson. I don't have anything to say on it right now.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Deacon Taylor, I want to go back to verse 51 when he says, he have showed strength with his arm. He have scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. What do you know about it? I know you are Old Testament. I notice a lot of times when you pull scripture, you go into the Old Testament. What do you think that means when you talk about the arm of God?
There is no one, nothing out of reach of what God can touch, change, or do. His strength, his strength surpasses any other thing we can even imagine, and his power encompasses all.
Amen. It is a very powerful statement there that she says, his arm have scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. I spoke about the fact that imaginations are not real. They're delusions. A lot of people are walking around delusional. They're living false lives. They're believing in false things. They're doing all kind of false, bogus stuff. And that's because they're living in the imaginations of their own hearts. They're not living in an actual real world. And God has allowed some people to live through that because they are too arrogant to come to him. They're too arrogant to come out of that and face things as they really are. And so you get people who go around who claim, I don't believe in God, yet as soon as something happened, the first thing they holler is, oh, God. See, these are people who live in the imaginations of their own hearts. Ms. Magnum, I want to ask you a question. The meeting of these two women, these two women, Elizabeth and Mary, the meeting of this is, do you think that God planned that? I mean, we know God is in charge of everything, but Mary had to travel almost 3 to 4 days to get to Elizabeth. And, of course, the younger one would naturally go to the older one. Do you think that that was intentional?
I think that was intentional.
That God wanted those two to be together.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That they may encourage one another.
Yes.
Deaconess, do you feel that same way? Deaconess Rainey?
Yes, I do.
You think that was an intentional meeting? He wanted them two to be there at that moment. For what end? To what end? For that song to come out of Mary? Because it is after Elizabeth makes her statement that Mary goes into this soliloquy about God. So if it had not, maybe, I don't know, I'm just speculating. If it had not been for Elizabeth's statement, maybe Mary might not have made her song. So maybe, as you say, God had it planned, intentional, that Mary would be there when Elizabeth made that statement. Because it was after that statement that Mary goes into her soliloquy as praising God. She answers marriage when they come together. That is her response to that. I want to go somewhere else. I want to ask another question. I want to talk about Christmas for a while here. How many of you feel that that Christmas has been taken for granted? I'm not talking about the shopping and the commercials. We know that's, we know what that is. I'm talking about on a personal basis for a lot of people, as people that you meet. People that you see. Do you think Christmas has been taken for granted for anyone? Anyone can answer that. And the reason why I ask that question is because it seems as if it's just another Christmas. There's nothing different about it. It's just another Christmas. Have we gotten so complacent with Christmas that we don't even look at it as being a holy day instead of a holiday? I know we get off of work.
I think so, too, because people, they have, like you said, have taken it for granted. Some people, they think Christmas is about getting gifts. It's mm-hmm. all about and about eating, you know, mm-hmm. the meal together, mm-hmm. stuff like that. I just think they just taken the real meaning out of Christmas all around. You know,
it is
all about the gifts.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's just another day to party.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
eat.
It. Yeah, that's what it is. And the thing about that is, you know, the scripture here points out a very good point, because I think that we have to understand. It says in 54, verse 54, "She have helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." We need something to happen to help us remember mm-hmm. just how good God is. I don't know what's going mm-hmm. to happen. I don't know what the future is going to bring. I don't know what's going to happen in 20. It seemed like it would have happened last year when we went into this pandemic. It seemed like people would have come closer to God then. But it, mm-hmm. something has got to happen. Something is going to happen that's going to remind us of the mercy of God. We have forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. We've forgotten how good God is and how merciful mm-hmm. he is. You know, I was listening. I was looking at the tornado. And particularly in Kentucky. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's only a couple of states away from us. You know, we forget that tornado could have struck right here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We forget about that sometimes. We take that for granted. It seems as if, mm-hmm. and I thank God, it seems as if we live in a sweet spot. Very, very, very seldom are we affected by great changes of weather. However, mm-hmm. it can happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Tornadoes can come up anywhere. And I think a lot of times we forget about, you know, how God, even though some have perished, even though some have lost their homes and their jobs, many people were saved. Many people were saved. A lot more people mm-hmm. could have died in that tornado.
That's right.
A lot more people, a lot more buildings could have collapsed on workers
mm-hmm.
And churchgoers. So we sometimes we forget about God's, and we need something to remind us. Like it says in verse 54, he have helped his servant to remember his mercy. God's going to allow something to happen, and it's going to be to help us to remember, because we're not going to remember it on our own. It's only when we are brought mm-hmm. down, only when we have to face the world as it is, that we really get real. You know, that's when, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but, you know, a lot of young men find the Lord in jail. They have to get locked up before they find mm-hmm. the Lord. And that's fine. Anytime you find the Lord is good. Anywhere you find him is good. But why does mm-hmm. it have to be in that place? Why do you have to get to that level to find the Lord? You know, and that's how mm-hmm. it is with all of us. A lot of us have to get knocked down before we mm-hmm. Can be picked up. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have been so complacent in our services, in our coming to church, and our doing mm-hmm. everything that we're supposed to be doing according to the will of God. We've gotten too comfortable. We've gotten too complacent. And we have forgotten of the mercy of God.
Yeah,
I want to ask you. Go right
in. That's a good thing you were saying there, because I keep saying that if this pandemic with COVID and everything, if it doesn't get people's attention or to make them change and be more faithful and to God, I don't know what is, because we never been, of course, we're still going through this. We've never had anything like this before, not in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
If
yeah,
this
like
doesn't
said,
get people's attention and make them change, I don't know what will.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's not over yet. It's not over.
Oh, no.
We don't know what's going to come next. I heard on the news that they got a pill coming out. I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know what's that's going to be for. I don't know how many pills you're going to have to take. Who knows? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that are going on. We got to stay prayerful. We got to stay prayed up, beloved, so that we'll know that God is still in control. I want to ask just a question. I'm going to throw a question out. Anybody can answer. The Bible says in verse 56 that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. What do you think they talked about in those 3 months? Anybody?
I would say the greatness of God and bringing them with a child, both of them, one being barren and one being a virgin.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't John the Baptist have been born in those at that time? Because she was already 6 months when she got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed three more months, right?
Right.
Anybody else?
I agree with a sister who just spoke and said that they were talking about the miraculous events of their pregnancies, you know, one being older and barren and one being a virgin. They also probably build up their faith every day. They encourage each other even more every day, and they probably talked about scenarios and situations of people doubting them and what they were going through or what was going to happen to them, or what maybe even they may have said something while shopping to someone, and you know how word spreads. You know, she said an angel came and visited her, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, people need strength, and they need people around them to, you know, encourage and help strengthen them in situations like that, when people are possibly at a place where they can confront them or doubt them about their beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let us remember that Jesus came at a time when the people needed him the most. It was a desperate time for the children of Israel. And the people needed him at that time. And I suggest to you today that this is the same time when we need him the most. We don't know what's going to happen in 2022, but we know the Lord is going to take care. So I thank all of you for being on the line tonight. I thank all of you for supporting the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We will be back in 2022, and we hope that you will tell somebody about the Bible study. God bless all of you tonight. Deacon, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening as humble as we know how, thanking you for the many lessons, the scriptures, the prayers that have been said all during this year, during this Bible study power hour. Thank you for the open tape sessions that allowed all of us to have a new outlook, a new understanding of your word and your will, and of each other. Lord, we thank you right now for the teacher. Lord, we thank you for all the listeners who thought it not robbery to take a few minutes out of their time to come and learn a little bit more about your word. Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. Lord, we ask that you continue to keep your hands on us, keep your hedge of protection around each and every one of us and our family members. Lord, as we go into the remainder of this year and into the unknown part of the beginning of next year, but we know that you have the whole world in your hands, Father. Lord, we thank you right now for all you have done and all that you're going to do. Lord, we praise you right now for it. For our belief is in you. Our faith is strong in you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank all of you tonight. Amen. Have a great night. Don't forget about the watch night services. Don't forget about the New Year revival. We'll see you in 2022. God bless all of you tonight.
Good night.
Have a great holiday, ones that we won't be seeing.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you.